Skyline, what's up? We are back with the Champions Pod, and we have a first-time champion. We have the GM of the Indianapolis Ignition, Jenner York. What's up, buddy?
You know, saying that like that made me smile like quite a bit. I'm pretty happy about winning. I was very surprised we pulled it out last year. I was expecting it to take a few years, but you know, it's always good. Obviously, it's only good to win this early, though.
Yeah, it was a first year in, and boom, right away. It was pretty dominant too. I think you went something like 14-4 or 14-3, something like that. I mean, and it was just a dominant run all the way through.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the most wins I've had in a regular season as well. I think I got 110. I think I got over 100 maybe a few times with the Dodgers, maybe once, maybe twice, I don't know. But no, I mean, it was much better than I expected. Everything kind of went my way, I feel like.
No, I mean, it was from day one all the way through the SCS. The Ignition were probably the best team in the league, record-wise, roster-wise, and really, it was just an amazing team. I mean, as we'll get through the like roster moves and guys that you acquired, but it really was the best team in the league, hands down. And I give you all the credit in the world because this was hand built from the day that you took over Indy. So really job well done and congratulations.
Yeah, very appreciate it.
So before we get into Indy and the Ignition and their run and their roster and the unsung heroes, let's get to know you a little bit. So you're a 20 something guy. I know you're just out of, I think you just got a new job and you just moved across the country a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you get into the game? Because this is, I wouldn't say this is a young man's game. And you're a, what, like 20, mid-20s guy?
I'm like 23. 23 right now. I'm going to turn 24, you know, this upcoming year. Honestly, I've not even watched really as much baseball as probably pretty much anyone here. I've really not watched much at all. I kind of just got super in for like 1 year. Like whenever I joined, I want to say like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. I played a lot of Football Manager. I really like sports management, like the whole concept of like just running your whole team. I mean, even back in like the old 2Ks, Maddens, I mean, I'm sure everyone's done that stuff. And like, this is just like the most in-depth, like, one of the most in-depth simulators that you can ask for. I really like it. Football Manager is probably a little bit better, I think, but on the online aspect of this might be like my favorite game of like all time. It's just so rewarding, and it's all just completely numbers based. I get to stimulate my brain all day by looking at green and random numbers. But really, I got into it just by being super into like advanced stats. I eventually found it basically kind of through the Football Manager route. And then I honestly joined online leagues within like 10 offline simmed leagues. And this was like one of the first ones I joined. I joined, I think, a one really shitty one that was in like 2070 or something. Like no one did anything. And I pretty much just AFK'd. And it was like, I think 100% scout accuracy or something. And then I joined another shitty one. And then I joined this one. And then this one, I really got into the game when I got into this one. When I was in the other two, I was kind of passively playing. I was kind of trying to pick it up. And this one, I definitely have gotten a lot better since I first got here. But this being my first league and to finally – my first real league, I'm going to count, really. And to win it, it's obviously great.
So something you said kind of interests me. Do you watch baseball?
Pretty much not at all. No, not at all. I've watched baseball, I think, a few years ago. I think Ohtani's first really good season, I watched some. I've been to some games, but live baseball, I've not watched. I don't think I watched a single game all year if I wasn't like at like a restaurant or something, probably.
Okay. So do you have a favorite team? Because
Oh, yeah. Tampa Bay, spoiler alert.
Like, we used to live like 15 minutes from each other.
So. Yeah, no, I know he did. I like the Rays. I like them because when I was like a kid, I used to really like all the worst teams, and they were the Devil Rays, and they had like Carl Crawford and like Evan Longoria, like right before they were actually good. And right. Then I liked them because they lost like 100 games, and I'm like, I'm gonna like this team because I want like to be in it when it's bad, so I can be there when it's also good. And then they became good like pretty much instantly. But to be honest, like it's more just like reading box scores, maybe watching every once in a while. Oh, dude, I've been to a perfect game. You know, Mark Burley's perfect game against the Rays with the Dwayne Wise catch.
Okay.
I was at that game with my grandpa when I was like fourth grade, okay. Fifth grade or something.
Okay. So, You kind of just got into the game because of the management aspect of it, not really for like a love of baseball. I'm not gonna lie to you for like the nerd way, right? Of just management, right?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely more of that. But when I did get into the game, I was like going on StatCast, you know, maybe once a week, kind of looking around it. See, like I just find the numbers really interesting. In baseball, compared to most sports, it's so much more concrete. All the like the statistician is just like the stats they can give you are just much more accurate than like basketball. And honestly, if there was a better basketball simulator that was online, I would also like that one a lot more. But I really like the stats aspect of baseball.
Okay. So you joined this league, and
yeah,
you joined. It was at the expansion, right? When you became the GM of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I joined in 2030. They made the playoffs with like 90 wins. I didn't change a single fucking thing, and then they won like 77, and I was like very confused. And then after that, like I slowly started figuring it out and kind of making it. But I pretty much I got really lucky with Michael's team at the beginning, because like again, honestly, if I restarted. And I started with like a dog shit team, I would not have been that good. But by the time I was at the point where I started having to like actually make good decisions, I feel like I was much better at the game. You know, like once you get to like seven seasons in, I really started like getting my philosophy and like how I wanted to do things like really down. But like Michael's rebuild, like, you know, he carried a lot of the asset value early on when I was kind of just learning.
Okay. So 10 years after that, we had the, you did come in at the expansion.
No,
okay.
I came in at 2030. It was a little after expansion, I think, but I don't know.
Well, cause Michael, he took over Memphis and then you took over LA.
Ignacio was there. Yeah,
right. So, obviously, the big change came when you switched from LA to Indy, and Craig switched from Baltimore to LA, and Zach went to Baltimore. So there's a lot of theories on what went down, and Zach says he was forced out, and Zach says this, and Zach says that.
Okay. Zach literally just says things. Anyone who takes Zach seriously and anything he says, I'm pretty sure he literally just exaggerates something as a joke and just types it and just like, I don't think he's serious about any of it. He like wanted to be gone. He messaged me multiple times in between the time we switched and after, like, asking and like us discussing about like if we're going to switch teams anyway. I think he got denied of switching just straight to the Dodgers one time, like earlier on by like Scott. I mean, he wanted to join. I think that's like a complete gag.
Okay, so you're the GM of the Dodgers, and they had some success. You made a couple. Actually, you took them to the SCS a couple of times, correct?
Yeah. I lost to a man, and I lost to Who did I lose? Who was the other one I lost?
It wasn't Virginia, was it?
No. It was
Miami.
Miami. Yeah, I want to say it was Miami. I forget, to be honest.
Okay, so you get the opportunity to switch, and you say, okay, I'm taking over Indy, and Indy was a fucking hot mess, right?
Yeah, they had pretty much nothing.
Zach had 10 years of that franchise and it amounted to nothing. So this is when you take over. And I'm just going to let you go. Okay. This rebuild, you literally tore it down. You said, I don't want any of Zach's guys. They're all gone. And this is going to be a hard rebuild from the floor up. And go ahead and just shoot on that.
Yeah, so at 2043, I took over, I think. In the year before, they made the playoffs like once. They won over 70 literally twice before that. All they had was Caballero, Rhea, Vandermeek, and then a few other guys that may have a role right now. I'm trying to think who I have, maybe Cody Kvet. I have my catcher. He ended up being really good, but he pretty much dev'd up and played completely because of me. I have a few Zach's players now though, with Sadowski and Hartman, but right. Either way, back to the history. Really, I traded Rhea and Vandermeek both for full drafts from Tyler and David. Which both everyone was very surprised, and honestly, I wanted to trade them regardless of Zach. I knew that team was gonna top out, I feel like, even if I tried to do it organically more. And I'm why don't I just rebuild for a few years, and instead of having to make a bunch of tough, very good decisions every single time, can't make a mistake to be one of the best teams, why don't I just tank for 3 years and just fucking suck? And then that was basically my decision. So then I have over the next few drafts, I have multiple drafts. I basically had six in 3 years or 6 and 4 years or something like that. I draft Van Skyke with one of the picks. I draft Tanaka, Michael Paul with one of the first rounders, Aguilar, obviously. One of my failed first picks was Haddock, who got a UCL tear and completely died off. But it pretty much started from nothing. And every single player on my team, I either drafted for or traded for within the last 4 years, besides for Cody Kvet, I think. Maybe Chevy Morris. I think because I traded him back and forth. I think maybe Chevy Morris also. But the big pieces that hit for me, obviously, were Aguilar popping off. I feel like I honestly got really unlucky with a lot of my picks. Tanaka was a top 10 prospect on the pipeline at one point, and he really fell off. Michael Paul's kind of fell off this year. Van Skyke fell off, not fell off, but he's definitely not first overall pick. Again, he was a top 10 spec. Story was a top 10 spec. Haddock was a top 10 spec at one point. All those guys died off. And even despite, I feel like, a lot of my top picks dying off, I've had a lot of things go my way since then, with Douglas Crowder, got a huge dev up before last year and then had an insane season for no reason last year. Cody Kvet got his catcher ability over the course of, 3-4 years. That went up 15. Grayson Potts did not even dev up. He was just a 9th round pick, and he's just a 3-war shortstop. That's probably my best pick. And then on my team now, I've made big trades for Stafford and Neg and Sadowski and Hartman. But, and then obviously a lot of the arms I also drafted. But the big one that I'm sure everyone's going to point out is Tejada completely popped the fuck off. And he's now the best pitcher in all of baseball. He's my best pitcher I've ever had. I mean, much better than Snyder. And that's not even a diss on Snyder. Snyder's completely nuts. But Tejada is I mean, if he was doing this, if he was this good, he might make the Hall. There's a decent chance he'll make the Hall of Fame. And he didn't get the huge dev up until last year. I don't know if people notice, but he literally had 7.8 WAR last year while being on a 90 pitch count or 85 pitch count. It's completely nuts. That was so lucky by me, to be honest. Craig literally did almost nothing wrong. The only thing, I mean, I wanted the fan fave and I knew he was a ground baller, but I mean, I got super lucky with him.
Yeah. Cause I remember before last year, I sent you a message about him. I go, did you see this? I go,
no, because I didn't.
He looked bonkers to my scout at the time. And I didn't know if you had the dev up, because I was like, holy crap. I go, I go, because, you know, I figured you were going to be a an up-and-coming team. That dev up gave you that number one starter, which you didn't have. And I was like, you're going to be a problem. Right then and there, I said, that solves your biggest need right there. That number one shutdown ace.
Yeah. No, I mean, as much as, you know, like I said, I feel like I got a little unlucky with a decent amount of my specs. I mean, getting Tejada, you know, just handed to me as the best pitcher in baseball is insanely lucky. You know, like even if I didn't have Tejada this year, I would maybe be a little bit better with how good Spinchich has been and how much more of my arms are coming up. But like last year, if I did not have Tejada, I just don't think I win, to be honest. Like maybe I do, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but like Tejada is just like such like a good like carryover into like even this next sort of like market next like window I have to outside of like this year. Cause I really thought last year was more going to be like a warm up, like, okay, we win 95 to maybe 100 without Tejada. And then Tejada popped off and like he's just the best pitcher ever.
Yeah, because it certainly it moved up your window.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and again, maybe you have to go get that stud ace. You know, we have to take you know, some specs and go get that guy. Well, he's right in your lap. So it was great for you and really effed everybody else up. So
yeah, no, for sure. It was insanely lucky.
So, and really, I mean, your window is probably the next, 5 or 6 years of just being like a top contender. Cause I mean, won in your first year, you know, usually, you know, there have been teams that once the rebuild's over, it takes time. It takes a year or two. And then they become that big stud team. And you really came out of the gate and blew everybody out of the water.
Yeah, no, I think my window is going to be pretty long. I will say, like, my finances are going to be pretty fucked at some point if I don't start getting more money. Like they're going to get pretty fucked very fast. But I expect to get more money over the course. But, you know, I just, like, so many. Whoa. I'm gonna have to do a lot of moving around stuff. But, like, if anyone. What?
You are not a fan of a 3-year extension.
Oh, me? No.
Yeah. No, yeah. No. Like you've extended everybody for five years. It's pretty funny.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean for Tejada, it made a lot of sense for me to do the salary that way. 32. That's just like I feel like common sense. Stafford and Sadowski, I didn't really have anyone else that I thought. I mean, like honestly, I feel like the salaries are just really good on both of those players. So it just kind of makes sense to me. Hartman's just a steal, straight up. $4 million over 5 years is just crazy. Yeah. So there's no reason not to do that. But like, I will again. There's gonna have to be a lot of moving parts. Eventually, you know, especially once you get into, okay, if Tejada's still good after his end of contract, I'm gonna have to sign him to a bunch, and then Aguilar at that point is gonna be making, you know, a ton of money, and then you know I have Nang. Have you looked at Nang yet in my AAA?
I have not.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to pay him, you know, a bunch, probably by, you know, the end of that 5-year point as well. I uploaded him. He's in AAA, but he may be in AA still. Check AA. Yeah. Yeah.
Who am I looking for?
That guy, Nang.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Check his OSA. I think I have him as a 55 out of 80 already.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, again, yeah. I mean, this guy is where you can let a guy go, and this guy is just a plug and play. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, depending on how, you know, Spinchich is going to get paid. I mean, after the next 5 years, I'm going to have like a lot of like moving parts, but for the next 5 years, I think there's just no doubt in my mind that like I'm at least a 95 win team, unless something goes horribly wrong. And I really think, you know, over the next 5 years, I'm hoping to win over 100 at least 3 times, probably. Hopefully more, obviously, but It'll be tough to tell.
Yeah, I mean, your rebuild really was a just accumulate first round picks. I'm going to buy picks. I don't care. And you just drafted really well, and you built an amazing farm, and it's going to be producing for the next call. Like, you get Ning and all these other guys are going to be coming up, so you can just plug and play. Hey, I can let this guy go because I got this guy. So,
Oh yeah, no, I mean, it's just about prospect churning, you know, like the Amins and the Dustins find a way to do all the time. It's, you know, always just having to find random pieces. I don't know. Like it was pretty lucky. I feel like I kind of set the trend on buying picks all the time. I spent every single year, I was just buying as many picks as possible. And now everyone wants to sell and buy picks.
I bought some picks, at least, too. Like in my rebuild, I bought a pick or two, but you were definitely one of the ones who were going to spend $40 million on like a pick. So,
oh yeah, no, I'm just thinking of the Sly pick I bought for like 40, 50 million or whatever it was, and then I bought another first round pick for like 30 plus million. Like,
I mean,
it's just,
look, I agree with it. That's what I do. Hey, I'll take out at this point. Like, if you're in a rebuild and I'm not going to pay anybody any money, and I'll take your contract, but you're attaching a first round pick onto it. I'm not taking a contract unless I'm getting assets back. And you obviously were doing the exact same thing, and it worked out for us both. So,
oh yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I think we subscribe to the same, you know, tear down, rebuild, draft picks. You know, not spend any money on your main roster and just go with it, right?
Yeah, it's like, for me, again, my general like philosophy about the rebuilding is just about not paying. Like, there's absolutely no reason when you are rebuilding to have anyone over the age of like 25, unless you really think that player is going to super duper help you, like when you're going to be competitive in whenever your timeline is. Trading that 28-year-old and moving down to a 24-year-old and just playing that guy and hoping for a TCR, you know, a talent change randomness, like just at any moment. I mean, 24-year-olds can get talent change randomness, 28-year-olds are not. So, like, as soon as you can get your whole team under the age of 25, you can just bank on. I mean, the only reason Todd had devved up, right, is because I was playing him when he was not devved up all the way. You know, when he was just like a really low movement guy, I was just playing him anyway, and he just debbed up. And, you know, same thing with some players like Deffenbaugh or Saud or Maldonado, who was an all-star last year, or Potts or Cody Kvet or Chevy Morris, just playing these like random young guys and just hoping they gain five here or there. I feel like it's just like super duper important in terms of like maximizing value.
Well, I will say this, a good pitching coach will give a guy some luck there in terms of diving too, and you do have a pretty good coach at the major.
Oh yeah, my hitting coach is also. That's the other thing. I don't know why people are so against spending. Like, there's a reason why people spend a bunch on coaches. Dude, it's like very needed, or not needed, but like it's very like it's just like the optimal thing to do.
Especially if you're going to go into a deep rebuild, and you're not. And again, everybody has money to spend. And if you don't want to spend it at your major league level, then why not throw it into coaching at the minor league level? And, you know, I've gone ape shit on coaches. And guess what? I built a good farm. You've done the same thing. And you built a great farm, you know, for your rebuild. And it worked. Like, if you get the right coaches at the right level with the right guys, they will dev up crazy.
So. Yeah, people try to min-max things too much in terms of making the most, like, dude, just like if you overspend, like, that's not necessarily like a bad thing. Like, it's really not that big of a deal, as long as you're not being like hemorrhaging money, like, or really, you know, like, what do you want to say? Like, just like really, like, you're losing a lot of assets when you're actually going to be competitive. But like, making poor value trades when you're tanking is like really not that big of a deal, as long as it's the right direction. It's always better to make wrong or bad decisions in the right direction than correct decisions in the wrong direction.
You get a brain emoji on that one, dude. That's that's fucking some good shit right there. So let's get back to your roster a bit here. So, you know, you're plugging along, you're just killing it, and then you make some trades. So let's talk about Stafford, Hartman, and Sadowski, because really, I thought the Stafford, because he killed us, because you swept us in the playoffs, which was kind of knew that we weren't going to win, but you didn't have to sweep us. And it felt like Stafford just murdered me in the playoffs, and he was fantastic for you. So why don't you go ahead and talk about getting Stafford and then the Hartman and Sadowski trade.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Stafford, me and Jack had been I talked to Jack quite a decent amount. We always talk, you know, trades or just
Jock.
His name is Jake.
I know a Jake.
Whatever. Either way, Stafford is nuts. I really liked him. He's definitely like I don't know anyone who thinks like it was like a super steal of a trade. Definitely like I don't know, like Stafford's had not been the best. You know, during his time in Montreal, to end it off, you know, if he was just like a four and a half war player, I mean, I ended up, you know, I'm trading him Victor Kennedy, who's not devved up all the way yet. So maybe, you know, it'll work out for me. But Victor Kennedy, I think, looks like if he devs up all the way, it's just going to be really, really good. You know, Puppet was like more whatever. And then, well, Puppet is more of a backup for sure. And, he's a decent backup, but he's still a backup. And then, you know, same thing with Burton Van Schaik. You know, he's more of a, you know, maybe like an average third baseman. At this point, he was doing pretty well. It was a pretty easy trade to make just because I feel like I wanted an upgrade on Van Schaik, and I knew I could afford the cost of another pitcher. Like, even if you look at my pitchers right now, like, I'm going to have to make a lot of decisions on pitchers, like, this offseason and next offseason. And, like, honestly, just continue on from there just because, like, I have so many of them that, you know, I can kind of get rid of a Victor Kennedy who has, you know, some prospect risk when I already have Spinchich and Tejada and Deffenbaugh and Ayers and Whaley. And, you know, I have Anthony and like, you know, just a bunch of guys who I feel at least pretty confident could, you know, give me like, you know, a few goes through the orders. So it was not a bad trade for Jake at all. And then Sadowski, Sadowski's been bad in WAR this year. He's only on like 0.2 pace. He's usually above 2. I'm like not even like that upset at his performance. He's being pretty good defender. He's like not hitting well or running super well, but like I think his bat will come back to him a little bit. And it says 0.2 WAR, but to me, honestly, he doesn't look like a 0.2 WAR player given his defense is well above average for center field. So this year, a little bit disappointing, but it was a super needed trade because I think my current center fielder last year was Puppet. Yeah, and Puppet's just like a average center fielder or, you know, backup. So again, kind of upgrading those average players to, you know, all-star slash slightly below our all-star level. And then Hartman's just been nuts. I don't think he's actually this good. There's just no way he's going to be averaging under 2 ERA. But, you know, this year he's been, just like one of the best closers in like all of baseball, to be honest. And again, he was super needed. At the same time, you know, I gave up a decent, you know, I gave up Piecer, who's like going to be a decent backup, and Armijillo, who looks pretty nice if he devs up all the way. I really like the way he looks. So we'll kind of have to see on the Zach one a little bit more, just because they require a little bit more devving to fully see, especially like someone like Trago, who basically the whole trade is relying on. Not whole trade, but like a lot of the value of the trade for him is going to be whether Trago works out or not, because the other guys I gave him are more, you know, average to, you know, like below average, you know, asset value.
None of these guys look like they're the number one piece here. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you never know what happens, but they look okay, solid. Maybe they dev up a little bit, you know, who knows, but definitely Trago's the main one to look out from that trade. But like this year, this trade for Kyle from the Angels, he's been, you know, really good. you know, really good for me. And he's not even like hitting all of that well compared to how he was in California, but he's so good. He steals so many bases. He's basically like injury free. He's at 50% retain. I mean, he is just insane. I really like this Kyle trade in terms of who I got. However, like he has, oh, and now I do. He got a lot of good pieces off that. Bernal is a super good, you know, I don't think anyone really noticed him, but like Bernal's like legit, like good. Like his scout had a dev up and it looks pretty good. He can start, you know, he has the starter tag on there. Well, so trade down there. Oh yeah, Mays is super good. I mean, he's just like he's a top 10 spec for a reason. You know, you definitely worry about him a little bit with the three pitches, but I mean, he's been really good for him. I mean, like again, like I got Kyle, but I gave up quite a few pieces. I like Story. I think Story will also gain some catcher ability. He might, if he gains 5-10 catcher ability, he's the best catcher. Oh, I guess your scout has his bars, hitting bars a little lower than mine, or OSA does. Yeah. But I have 70 contact, 60 power.
Really?
For a catcher. Yeah. So you will have to, this to see what he turns out to be.
Like, yeah. You don't have to have like 80 ability to be a good catcher. He's going to be a good catcher.
Yeah. So. He definitely needs to refine the catching a little bit, gain 5 ability, or even just fill out his positional rating. But like in a few years, I think he'll be one of the best catchers in like all of baseball. If not, like almost already, like if he just kind of, I think once he gets into his groove, he's going to be a real stud. So like, I definitely didn't get Kyle for free or anything. I honestly, I'm not sure I won, you know, any of the trades in terms of long-term value, but you know, it's right now, I just feel like it's such a good boost to my team.
It doesn't matter who wins the trade. You won an SCS.
Oh, yeah.
If you only win one, I'm not saying you're only going to win one, but if you only win one, all the trades are worth it. Everything that you've done from day one up until then is worth it. I don't care what you trade. Winning the SCS in this league, as competitive as it is, how crazy this league is something. So it's all worth it. Trust me.
Trust me.
So. And again, you guys ain't going anywhere. So,
no, I mean, I have Nang ready to come up. I have, you know, I'm just bringing up a lot of my good pitchers, like really, really good pitchers, or they're kind of also just like filling out. I think I have most of my pick. I'm hoping to sustain this for quite a long time. I'm not going to do another hard rebuild unless I really feel like it's needed, and I just don't think it will be needed for quite a while, but we'll have to see.
So I feel like we've left off a pretty big piece of last year's team.
Ojeda?
Yep, Ojeda.
Ojeda was just nuts.
He was just bananas all year.
He really did. Like, I don't know if people noticed or like really thought about it at all, or like even, but like Ojeda's like a big difference between this year's and last year's team and why our offense is not as good. And you know, Michael Paul being worse and Crowder being worse. But like, I really feel like Ojeda kind of just taking over that. Like, he's so good. Like, Ojeda was completely nuts for me. I will literally always remember him for winning. I think that was Ojeda's first championship too. So, you know, he'll probably remember it too, but 52 home runs, 116 RBIs, 4 WAR as a DH with no base running ability. It's completely nuts.
I'm a big proponent of lineup protection, and what he really did was protected Aguilar and Paul in the lineup. And when you stack all those guys, it really, your offense just booms. And adding that veteran guy and having him for the whole year, it was the perfect storm.
Yeah, no, like a lot of stuff lined up super well for me. Tejada devving up, getting Ojeda for pretty cheap. And to be fair, like, again, I did get him for like pretty cheap, but he's also like a 37-year-old DH on a bunch of money. So like, I don't really think that many people are really going to pay for him that much. So like, just the fact that I could get a player that good for pretty low value you know, or pretty low asset, you know, me sending off assets, like, is pretty good. Like it really lined up really, really well for me. And then the Hartman, everything, honestly, everything just lined up perfect last season. I mean, you can already tell where, you know, this year, things aren't lining up quite as well. You know, last year, again, Crowder, nuts year. Sadowski was even better than he was before. Stafford was on fire. Michael Paul was crazy. Ojeda was there. Yeah, like hey, last year was just everything coming together at the right time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get into a little bit. What's wrong with your team this year? It seems like
it's mainly the offense.
Is it just because you don't have Ojeda? You're kind of in a, you guys, it's not really like, you know, a sophomore slump because you won the title last year.
No, if you look at it,
is fantastic. I mean, at least overall and bars wise, I think your staff is pretty good. Like, what is like what's missing this year? Because you're, I mean, you're down like what 20 wins right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super worried about it. I mean, again, if you look at just the difference between how, like I said, Crowder, Michael Paul, Sadowski all are performing this year compared to last year, it's just like much worse. Crowder, expected. I'm never going to expect Crowder to get 7 WAR ever again. That's just completely unreasonable.
But like, lose his mind.
Yeah, but like Michael Paul and Sadowski are like much worse than they were last year. You know, Sadowski for me last year, you know, let's just say he was on like an above 3 WAR pace. He's not even on pace for half a WAR. You know, Michael Paul went from being a really good first base to like, now he's kind of like a bad one. You know, he's not even on pace for 1.5. So, you know, kind of going from
bars are red.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's, I think yeah, he's not
a first baseman.
He's not good at first base, but I played him there last year just cause I had Ojeda, but this year he's a DH. My first baseman this year is Crowder, but yeah, again, Crowder to be expected, you know, Stafford's also a little worse than he was last year. He's more performing closer to, you know, how he was in Montreal. Well, he's still good. Like, I'm still fine with that trade, but, you know, he's not as on fire as he was. So it's really just a lot of my players are slightly underperforming, but I'm not, like, super worried about them. You know, like I said, I expect Michael Paul to not only hit 30 home runs and not bat 240. Very often, you know, again, is he going to be as good as he was? You know, it's always hard to tell with Al Park baseball and just like general stats, you know, how confident can you really be in them performing, you know, at 3 WAR versus 4 WAR versus 1 WAR? You know, there's a very fine line a lot of times with how, you know, an average goes from year to year, how many home runs they hit a year from year. But like, I'm pretty confident Michael Paul will not be this bad on average. I'm pretty confident Sadowski will be better than this on average. Crowder, I would probably expect to stay around this range more than the 7 WAR, though. So, you know, that, like, also lined up really well. Again, I'm also just not super stressed about it either because I have Nang coming up next year, and I think my hitting will hopefully turn it on in the playoffs, and if they don't, you know, I don't have anything to lose at this point. I won last year, so.
So, if Nang comes up next year, he's going to play right field, or is he going to be DH, or? Because I don't think he's really a defensive guy.
He's a left fielder. My scout has him as 65 potential in left field, so I'll probably just stick him there. And if he doesn't work out, I'll stick him at first base, or something like that. I'm more just gonna play it by year with where I play him, just because, you know, let's say Michael Paul's like next year on 1 WAR again, then maybe I start thinking, yeah, maybe I'll play him at first base, or I'll start playing, you know, my lineup has a lot of flexibility, I feel like, with where I can play guys. So it will be more of a, you know, if Paul's doing well, if Chevy Morris is doing well next year, maybe Crowder falls off next year, you know, just kind of replace someone.
Right. Okay. So looking at this year, we've really talked about last year. So let's talk about this year. So where do you see your team this year? Since it's basically just about the same team. Do you see yourself being a contender this year? Is it something you're like, we'll see?
Yeah. I mean, again, the only difference from last year to this year is going from Ojeda to Kyle. So, like, I really don't feel like my team should be much worse, but Like I said, they are, and I also did just get lucky last year. Again, I think Tejada is nuts, but like last year was like one of the best pitching years of all time. Nuts. I mean, he was at 1.67 ERA, 7.8 WAR for a pitcher. I've like almost never seen that. He's having another insane year this year, and he's only on pace for 5 WAR. So like I said, last year was probably a little bit of an overperformance more than anything, whereas I think this year is probably a bit of an underperformance. I'm not too worried about it, like I said. I think it will really all depend on whether, you know, Michael Paul starts hitting. You know, it's just kind of, I guess it's just based on how well we play during the playoffs. I think my team should be capable of winning it all. Clearly, they're not as, you know, they don't have as much momentum going into it as they did last year. So, you know, maybe that will play a factor. But if Michael Paul starts hitting or Sadowski starts hitting the last few, or, you know, Crowder starts going at 7 WAR again, like, my hitting is definitely the problem. And I kind of have faith in the long run for them. So it's more just momentum based, I feel like.
Okay. Well, I really like your team, and I think you're there in the East. There's probably three teams, maybe four teams, I would say they have a real shot at getting to an SCS. And obviously your team is one of them. There's probably one team in the Atlantic. There's probably two teams in the North. So
yeah. I think Memphis and Atlanta are pretty good. I think the Blue Jays are obviously really good. And I mean, as much as, you know, like JP definitely, I feel like JP got pretty unlucky with the Yankees so far. Every time I look at their team, you know, I don't know exactly what he does otherwise outside of just like looking at his bars. Cause you know, JP, I'm sure he does some crazy stuff, but his team just looks much better than it performs, to be honest. And it's been like that. So we'll see what Scott can do, I guess.
I think Scott's going to have some fun with this. So, but yeah, as Scott is back, and welcome back, Scott. You're a friend of the pod. He's done many of these pods before, never a championship pod, but he's done many a pod with us. And all right. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we have some real fun?
I don't know. I want everyone to vote for Oliver Snyder for Hall of Fame.
Is there anything with the league that you want to talk about? Any changes or any new votes coming up? Or
I mean, the old people always hold us back from anything we do fun. You know, it's like anytime we have a fun idea, Dustin will write a paragraph, and then someone else will come up with something fun to do that will, you know, be kind of entertaining, create an event, and then Trent will write three novels, and then we're all like, well, I guess we'll just not do it. You know, they kind of get their old man in the cane out, and it's just like, wow, no division draft for us. Sorry, guys.
No realignment, no pro reg.
Dude, I'm so like, okay, a lot of the stuff we say, I can kind of understand, but the division draft, I feel like, is such a good idea. It would be so fun. You know, the 2050 sky realignment, it all makes sense. I feel like it's pretty realistic, you know, to like what real life would be like. You know, I feel like a lot of the leagues are way more open to change nowadays than they've been. You know, NBA with the play-ins, and then NBA with the in-season tournaments, and then MLB with the pitch clock. MLB is probably going to add draft pick training at some point. I mean, like, leagues these days are going to be just much more progressive than they used to be. And I really feel like I really don't feel like division drafts is like really like, yeah, now we're getting to the unrealistic point. You know, like, I don't think that's really the line for me.
Well, see, you, because I think you brought up a point there with the major league draft, is that if you're going to put it on TV and televise it, and if you want an audience, then you got to have draft pick training. Because that's the best thing about the NFL draft is when teams move up and they make trades, and it's live on the air. And the NFL draft, I love the NFL draft. That is my one of, as a Lions fan, that was my Super Bowl for so many years. So, you know, watching the draft was always a highlight of the year. And in Major League Baseball, you got to have trading on it. Because nobody just wants to watch pick after pick after pick. I'll fall asleep.
Yeah, so. No, I definitely agree. And I really feel like the event of a division draft, you know, Ryan streams it, the top six GMs of however we decide that, you know, pick who they want in their division. It would just be so funny. It would be so good. I know you, Ryan would make, you know, full PowerPoints for it or some shit.
Okay. Knowing our league, do you honestly think this league can come up with a system to pick the top six GMs?
It would be funny. We would come up with something. Ryan would just propose it. I don't really care. Like, if I'm in there, great. If I'm not, great. If someone picks me first because I think I'm the worst, like Casey Matt picks me first because he thinks I'm the worst GM or some shit, I think that'd be hilarious. Like, I don't see how – there's not, like, really a lose scenario here. Like,
saying is that we as a league can't honestly agree on much.
Well, that's just because we have old people all the time. Like, that's what I'm saying. The Dustins, the Trents, the people who write paragraphs. You know, like, I'm not
that old. Dustin's that old.
Yeah, but he writes paragraphs, so he's like an old person. I mean, like, you know, like, there's not a lot of things I like Casey Matt for, but, like, you never question what Casey Matt is saying because he writes it so succinctly and exact points, and you never, like, you know, I'm much more of a fan of the spaz out and just press enter after every thought has ended than let's write four novels of nonsense about the minor leagues or something.
I'll leave something else. So, all right. Well, we're about 45 minutes into it. So I like to end on this note. And I always like to give my guests, the current champion, the opportunity to trash talk, shit talk, just flat out smash another team or GM. So,
yeah.
Jenner, you are the champ. Pittsburgh is not available. So you have lots of choices. There's lots of characters in the league. So
it's pretty easy for me. It's obviously D-Rich. It's obviously Zach. I would say it has to be those two. Zach's just like a bottom like three GM. I've never seen him do it. Like, I don't know. Like, again, you just look at his history in Indianapolis. It's like so obvious. Like, dude, he won between 60 and 70, like 80% of the time he was in there. Like, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, the game is so easy, and it's so like you and me and like people who like actually just are willing to like tank for like 3 years. It's just a blueprint. Like, just do it. Like, if you're bad, like, you're like, you know, if you're like Andy or Alberto or like, you know, just one of those GMs that like AFKs and does nothing or does one thing every blue moon, like, why not just tank? It's really easy. It's way more fun. And to anyone who's like, oh yeah, like, well, of course, tanking lacks skill. It's not fun. No, it's really fun. Like, it's really fun to draft players, see them grow, and like actually win rather than win like 80 games every year. Like, it's really boring to do that. And if you think like, oh, well, you know, you lack skill, it's like, well, I did the exact opposite with the Dodgers over the course of like 12, 13 years. And I'm probably going to do the same thing here where I last another like 12 or 13 years. And you guys always talk about how long I was fucking tanking. I was tanking for 4 years, barely, for 3.5. Like, that second half of 2046, I had like a 60% win rate. So, like, I don't want to hear about that years again, dude. You guys bring that up all the time. And then fuck D-Rich. D-Rich is just such a dick all the time. It's really funny. And he's becoming more like Casey Matt to me, where I just don't really see him as a real person and more as just like an instigator who says things in Slack to like start conversation rather than like I take is it what he says as an actual opinion. But at the same time, I take it as like, this is like D-Rich's opinion. So like, I don't really have to care about it. I can just like slightly mock it. And then he'll call me like autistic or something. Like Fuka May, I really like D-Rich is a good GM, to be honest, but he was also talking shit about Aguilar and he was talking about how lucky I got with all this bullshit. Like, dude, I had like 10 top 10 specs and like two worked out. Like, that's absurdly unlucky. I don't want to hear any nonsense about it. I mean, again, at least with D-Rich though, he's like an actual good GM. Like, I respect D-Rich's ability to like read the game. So, But that's the thing that pisses me off the most when he's like, just like an obnoxious dick about something. He'll like, like, I don't know. Like, he knows what he's doing enough. But then sometimes he's talking about the game and he's just doing that troll shit that like Zach or like Casey Matt does. But like, and lastly, after all that, and for that kind of talk shit about a lot of people there, like, I will say, like, I really do enjoy this league, like, a lot. I feel like I know everyone's, like, personality and, like, what they say and, like, just kind of, like, general, like, temperament and, like, how they GM. And, like, it really is, like, a community, to be honest. Like, I feel like, again, I've never met, like, literally any of you guys besides Mikey. But, like, I feel like, you know, I kind of know you guys all at the same time. It's a really special league, to be honest.
Yes, dude, if this league were to end, I don't know what I would do, because I have two other leagues and they're awful, like, as compared to this league. I like, there's no talking in them, and I'm like,
yeah,
and any day of the week I could open up my phone and there could be 800 messages in Slack.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not like I have another league that I'm in that's decently talkative, but it's still like, it's really not the same. Like, I really like that league. It's talkative enough. People are pretty active about the league, but you don't really get into like the funny, goofy I think they're goofy conversations by, like, you know, just like anything happens. And then like you, D Rich, Dan are on someone's ass about something. And yeah, it's, or like Zach will throw in like a random comment every once in a while, just saying like the first thing that pops into his head as like some absurd exaggeration. Or like, even like, honestly, even Higgs is growing on me a bit, where he'll just like, he'll do basically the same shit where he'll just like throw out some extreme opinion about something when he's like terrible at the game and has basically no authority on anything. And then he'll just like say like supply and demand or something and like leave. It's like, it's so funny. And like, even like anyone that talks shit or like you feel like I've like pissed you off or done something, like I'm like very not serious about like anything I've said, you know, like, like, I love Dan. Like, even, you know, even someone who I've have had more, you know, heated discussions with, like, I don't know, like Casey Matt or Dustin or something. Like, I've never like taken it personally. And I really do like that, like, people like Dustin or and Trent are and Casey Matt are in this league. You know, it's like it's a wide variety of personalities, you know, despite being like a pretty niche game where you think a lot of people would be pretty similar.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And I love the rant on Zach and D-Rich. I think you killed though. I think you killed it there. Cause and I hope nobody gets their is butt hurt over it, but it, you know, it's good stuff, dude. Yeah. If this league is like no other, I think we have 36 GMs who get along despite differences. I think we all can shit talk, we all can take it. No, nobody gets too personal except for one specific time.
A good thing we never hear about that time, though.
Yeah, like a million.
I always forget about that one.
Yeah. But no, I think, look, there's some people who don't get along in this league, and you know they don't get along. But
I'll be honest, it's literally just like two people. It's pretty much just two people. Let's be real.
I know, yeah, because, you know, and everybody wants to be, like, a funny guy, and that's fine, but don't take it personal. Don't take it personal.
No.
So, it's the internet, 100%. Right? It's an internet chat room, so.
No, like, and again, like, the thing is, like when D-Rich says I do something stupid, or, like, same thing with, like, Higgs or, like, Casey Mann or something, like, just remember, like, dude, it's D Rich and Casey Matt. Like, don't take their opinion, like, even remotely seriously. Like, it doesn't matter. like it's like, they're just like, every single person here is just stating an opinion. It doesn't, like, it doesn't have to be like a personal attack on like whatever you did as like a GM or like whatever you said earlier. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's whatever.
All right, Jenner. So, is there anything else before we sign off tonight?
No, I mean, I will say I'm going to name a few GMs that I feel like got shit on during the GM ranking just right now.
Okay,
Daryl and Mikey. I'm in another league with Mikey. Mikey's really good. Like, So now everyone might know which one was mine, which tier list was mine. But like Mikey's really good. Like he knows what the fuck he's doing. That's why I put him that high. He wins constantly in like every other league he's been in. He's never had to tank before. So we'll see if he wants to tank or not. But it'll be either way, he knows the game and he knows trades. So I have confidence he'll figure it out and he'll be, you know, even if he's not, you know, in the top tier of Dustin's and Amin's, everyone will know him as a pretty good GM. And then also Daryl's doing like everything right. He's like hard tanking. He's playing all the young guys. He has a great farm. You know, he's the number one spec in Sky. He has four, you know, A ball or higher, you know, top 40 specs, you know, and he's going to have another few top picks here. I mean, and Ryan also said, you know, Daryl's a really good GM. But after talking to him, like, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and claim I think he's going to be the best GM of all time or anything, but like, he is not bottom tier. Like, he is going to be like, at least, you know, in that middle to higher tiers.
Well, I didn't do a list. I was going to, I never got around to doing it. He gets an incomplete. He just got here. Like, yeah. This wasn't his team. Like, he took over a team that was a complete fucking mess. So, yeah.
But I agree. Like, that's why people aren't, but I'm saying it's a little bit too, I feel like there's a lot of recency bias with that list. And also, like, again, you can just kind of tell by the moves Daryl makes that he's going to be decent. Other thing I saw, I don't know why it annoyed, like, a lot of the people they put this, like, it was just very recency, you know, bias, I feel like. But it was, for the most part, pretty good list. I agreed a lot of them. But yeah, that's all I had to say.
I did recently well on those lists, which I liked. So, I mean, I kind of agreed. I didn't, like, there was a few of them I'm like, I don't know if I would put that guy up there, but I mean, it's a fun thing to do, and it sparks conversation in Slack, and, you know, on the slower days, it's, you know, it's fun to do. And
Also shout out New Tyler
over it. So
shout out New Tyler and New Rippo. People were shitting on anyone who had Rippo and Tyler in that bottom tier, like, just pay attention to the league more. Like, they're much better than they used to be. They used to troll around a lot and be terrible. But like, you can tell they're a little more into the weeds of the game now.
Rippo's much better at this league now than he was 20 years ago.
Yeah, again, neither are the best GMs ever, or even like in that first maybe tier or two. But like, anyone who had them in the bottom tier, like, they're definitely better than the bottom tier now.
Well, and I'll say this, and because I mentioned this to another guy in the league a couple days ago when we were talking about whatever, and I said, he came up, and I said, you know, he came in, you know, he thought he was hot shit, right? And he took like 15 years of humble pie, right? And just couldn't do anything right in this league, and he had to rebuild, and the rebuild didn't work. Well, he did it again, and it worked. So it took him a while. Like, this league is really hardcore. Like, if you're good at the game, it's fine. But online leagues, and especially this league, where the amount of trading that there is and ins and outs of this specific league, like, you have to be involved. Like, you, if you're not going to be a day-to-day guy, you're not going to do well in this league.
No. He
took it on the chin for about 10 years. And guess what? His team got to the SES.
Rip JG for not being a day-to-day GM.
JG, I knew from another league with Ryan, and he was a good GM there. But again, this is a daily league. If you're not here every day, you're not going to do well. Like, you have to stay up in Slack.
Especially at the start. I mean, you could probably get away with not being as active at times once you're in there for a few years, but like, you can't AFK for the first like 5 years and learn and be good.
Really what I'm getting at is when guys are posted on the trade block, like when somebody posts a stud on the block, and like, you have to get in right away. Like, you can't wait, because if you wait, he's gone. So like, you have to be involved in this league, or you're not going to win or do well. So, and I think there's always a learning curve with a daily sim league. So,
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we'll end it here. Good luck this year, Jenner. We have a couple sims left, and then the playoffs. Pittsburgh probably not involved this year, but
not out of it.
Not out of it, but it's going to take a miracle. So I wish good luck to you in the Ignition, and we'll see where the chips fall.
Yep. All right. Good talking to you.
All right. All right, Slack. I'll see you guys later.